When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
College football, full circle.
A little surprise you're seeing Fred Payton, multiple series instead of Carter Peavy. Oh, Alabama got it! Bama with the puck block, looking for offense from special teams, and it'll be a walk-in for Chris Braswell, 31-yard return. Hand it off, Robinson, and the entire pile will end up in the end zone. Touchdown, Alabama, first of the game late in the first quarter for the offense.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, as we get going here today. Week three in college football. Yes. Bunch of good matchups. We are going to start breaking into all of them today, joined as always by my man, Go for the Two, the encyclopedia of college football. That is Joe Lisi. Joe, how are you, my man?
Oh, I'm doing well. I could feel it in your voice, Carver. You're starting to get over the hill, right? Now we're on the back end, as they say, for the college football weekend. I start to hear a little energy in your voice. You're perking up a little bit. You're starting to get tickets in the window. You got some action. I could see you're locked and loaded in the cockpit right now.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I already have a couple things in the works for this Saturday, that's for sure. And I think we have to start with, some of the clips that we heard there in the open, Joe, and that is possibly the biggest game this week, and that's number one Alabama making a rare trip to the Swamp. And when I mean rare, I mean rare, Joe. I mean, this is like the first time in like 11 years or something like that that they're making a trip to Gainesville to take on the Gators. Dan Mullen made sure to let everybody know about it earlier this week, too. Over the last 24 hours, Joe, this thing's gone from 15.5. Now, I said all early in the week, by game time, this thing's going to get over 17, that people are going to hammer Alabama, even on the road. But sure enough, Joe, from yesterday to today, I've seen it go down a point, 15.5 to 14.5 now in a couple of books. Alabama, the road favorite in Gainesville against the Gators.
Yeah, and it's still hanging over that critical number of 14, right? That key number, and 15.5. And you start to say, okay, how does this game play out? There is still a concern about Bryce Young making a second career start on the road, on a true road game. This is not a neutral field anymore. This is true road environment. You want to go back to when, and I know there are two different quarterbacks, but when Bo Nix went on the road to the Swamp as a freshman, he faced a vicious defense, and he came out with a loss in that ball game. I'm just saying, that's when everybody was praising Bo Nix after he beat Oregon, right? You know, as the second coming of his father that led that team to an undefeated season. So you have to pump the brakes a little bit. From the series perspective, we already talked about it yesterday, Alabama 26-14 straight up, right, over Florida all time, and more importantly, has won seven straight by 21 points per game. Now, you look at last year with Trask, they did not cover that basically 17-point number, right? I mean, it looked like they were going to do it early on, and then all of a sudden Kyle Trask said, no, baby. No, we're covering, losing by six. They needed like five more minutes to pull that game out. I had them on the money line. They couldn't do it, though. Amazing.
they could not do it. And it seems like, Joe, people are trying to – and listen, you have to do this as you're leading up to a big game. People are trying to sell you Florida, understandably so, that they potentially have a chance here this Saturday at home against Alabama. I'm going with the same. I know it didn't work out for me last week, Joe, but I'm going with the same strategy. I'm sticking to my guns. I did it with Ohio State last week. It did not work out. Tremendous job by Oregon. They went in and got it done. I'm doing it again this week, Joe. There's no wavering on me. I am not going to get swayed.
You are wavering, though.
I'm not wavering.
Because you went Florida week one, Florida week two, now you're jumping off.
Oh, I did not go. No. I stayed nowhere near Florida last week. I wanted nothing to do with that game after they screwed me with FAU in week number
one. You went Florida against FAU, and then you jumped off last week.
Trust me, Joe. Florida could have won me a ton of money the first 2 weeks against FAU in South Florida. There was no way I was playing them against Alabama this week. I'm not a fool. I'm not betting against Nick Saban in a conference game against a team that people think actually has a chance against him. This is where Nick loves to lay the hammer down in a spot like this. You know, you got one of the players on Florida given the bulletin board material. I forget which game
it was. Don't you hate that?
We'll be ready. They better be ready for us. They better be ready for us. Let me just tell you something. That's all that Nick needs. When Nick gets stuff like that and he drills it home to all the kids, they're in big trouble this Saturday, Joe. They're in big trouble.
You see, I didn't know. You're going over to Nick's house for dinner tonight? You and Nick, you spend some time,
Coach.
Like, you know. You're on,
Coach. Like
you
Deion.
And Nick.
Coach.
Yeah, me and Nick are hanging out. Nick, how you doing? Hey, you need your grass cut? Yeah, I'll do it. just keep this in mind, and we talk about this, you know. How good is Alabama against SEC opponents? All right, you ready? 43-3 since 2016. Okay, 43-3 since 2016 straight up. Okay, the only three losses, right? You came one against Auburn, right? When Tua got hurt with Mac Jones, 48-45. One with Joe Burrow, 46-41. And the Chad Kelly game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Remember that with Ole Miss?
Yeah, so no, Chad, and they won, no doubt.
And they won those games last year in the SEC by 30.2 points per game.
Just getting going. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 204. We'll come back. Keep jumping into all these games for week number three right here on College Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. All right, Joe. So we're in on Florida and Alabama. We'll talk about that one a lot more as we continue to go throughout the week. Couple, how about tomorrow night, Joe? We actually have this Ohio-Louisiana Lafayette Ragin' Cajun game. Neither team has looked good so far, as I'm concerned. We've got a line of 20.5 right now. I was kind of hoping it would get to 21, and then I might take a stab with the Bobcats. What do you think about the Ragin' Cajuns here in a primetime game?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lafayette definitely wins, but I'm going to take the underdog. I hate taking a favorite short week. I hate that. And the fact that it's under the key number of 21, right, is it, everybody's waiting. Oh, you know, I'll lay it with Ragin' Cajuns, right, because it's under, you win by 3 touchdowns, you get the cover. That's how they suck you into taking the favorite. So I'm taking the Bobcats here. Don't love the game. But -110 either way, the books don't have a feel about, you know, who the stronger team is. They set it up based off their power rankings and everything else. Yes, they played some tough games, too. I mean, they played down. I mean, Lafayette got beat up by Texas, and look at how good Texas is after the loss to Arkansas. I'm going to take the MAC team here, plus the 20.5. I feel like I'm playing with house money. They're going to go on the road. Wednesday game, it'll be televised. Give me the Bobcats to step up here.
It does kind of feel like a game, Joe, where I want to take the dog. Like, it feels like the type of game where getting those 20 points is going to be good. Because I've gotten on Ohio a little bit here. Syracuse can't lose to them, etc. But a spot against Lafayette, who also hasn't looked good, I think this is going to be a nice spot to maybe get some points. And the total's 56.5, Joe. Maybe an under game here if you're going to play Ohio. A little under along with the Bobcats.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Ohio, right, you don't want to give that offense an opportunity to score points. You want to shorten the game. Ohio had, 9 points against Syracuse week one, right? So they settled for field
big
goals.
Big nine, Joe. Big 9 points.
Big 9 against that Syracuse defense, right? So for me, obviously, if there's red zone concerns, they have 2 good running backs. They have Tuggle. They have Allison, right? I mean, for me, 56.5. What is that? 37-20. You get the over, right? We still get, if Lafayette wins 37-20, you get the underdog covered and the over. That's a lot of points, right? I would favor the under there. I mean, 37-20. You're still right on the number if you think about it.
Yeah, I think it's an under type of game tomorrow night, just with the way that I've seen both teams play over the first couple of weeks, probably the spot that I want to go. 2 decent games on Friday night, Joe. We've got UCF going to Louisville, who I know you were high on going into the year.
Yes, I am.
Have not looked great the first couple of weeks, for sure. We've got Maryland and Illinois. Let's start with the UCF game. Going, of course, to Papa John's. 7.5, the road favorite against the ACC team. UCF, baby, they're ready for Power 5 football, yeah. Joe. They're ready to get in a Big 12, being a road favorite against the Cardinals.
Now, here's the problem. This line has been bouncing around 7. I've been following this line all week. And it got down to 6.5 on FanDuel last night. And I'm like, oh, there's some Louisville money coming on. And all of a sudden, it's back up over to the key number 11, right? I don't like that price movement, to be honest with you, but I think there's no way Louisville lays an egg here. They have to be into this ball game. This is a defense that they can attack in terms of, this is not an SEC caliber defense. We're talking about a defense in UCF that gave up 32, 31 points to Boise State, but more importantly, 500 yards last year, right? And I think they can run on them, and they might. I mean, he played so bad, Malik Cunningham, right? Terrible. But if they can get him out on the edge the way he was able to run the football against Ole Miss, they're going to get yards. So I'm going to take the underdog. I think they win this ball game outright. I'm not sold on Gus Malzahn. UCF has had problems in the past since the heyday when they were 13-0. A couple of years ago, they were 0-3 on the road. I'm taking Louisville. I'm taking the over. I really like the over here. Now, that total was 69.5. It's down to 67.5. I think this is a clear over. This has got 55-40 written all over it.
I liked the over a little bit more a few weeks ago, you know, before I saw Louisville not be able to score against Ole Miss.
Right. You know, I think that people are overreacting on that.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. I'll probably play this over just for gas, Joe, just because it's the Friday night game. I want to have a little juice. I don't think I like UCF laying over a touchdown. I don't want to trust Louisville and Satterfield. So I think if I do want to have a little fun with this game on Friday night, Joe, this over 67.5 is probably going to be the way that I'm going to want to go. Maryland and Illinois, Joe. How about Maryland and Illinois getting ready Friday night? We got a little Big Ten game. We've got Tulia in the mix here, too. His brother, who's played very well. They are 7.5-point road favorites in Champaign, Joe Lisi.
I know. This is, looking at this line, right? 7.5 minus 112. And seeing how Sikowski and the crew played last week, they got abused by Brennan Armstrong. He threw for 5 touchdowns. I'll say this, you know, quickly. Brennan Armstrong looked like Steve Young against their secondary. I mean, he was throwing darts. Now, here's the thing. You think that it just favors Maryland as a whole, but Loxley is such a bad coach. I know, he's a great recruiter, but an in-game coach, he struggles.
He's a great recruiter. I love that stuff, Joe. He's a great recruiter.
I know. I'm perplexed because I don't love this game. But if I had a pick right here, right now, I know our great vice president and president of content, Greg Sussman, is going to kill us if we don't. I'll take Maryland. Maryland dominates this ball game, but it's not one of my better picks because I wouldn't shock me if I turn on the screen and it's a 28-28 game. But it just seems like these primetime Friday night games, Maryland steps up. They did last year against P.J. Fleck, remember? Down by 21, they won the ball game 45-41.
You don't got to remind me. I lost a big ticket that night on the Gophers and P.J. Fleck in that Friday night game against Maryland. For me, Joe, I'm on Maryland, man. I just am. I think we saw the real Illinois last week. I think we saw the real Illinois against Virginia. And I know they had their big effort week number one against Nebraska at home, and the game is in Champaign. But and it's hard to trust Maryland, Joe. That's the one thing. Hard to trust Maryland as a road favorite, considering their history in the Big Ten. But I think that the quarterback play is enough for me here that I'm able to stomach it.
Yes. I mean, you're going to have to live with growing pains, right? You know, so it looks like Peters will start this game. From what I just read now, a day ago, Brandon Peters will be the starter Friday night. It's not going to be Sikowski. But then you have that concern. How good is the shoulder? One hit, is he back on the IR, right? Is he off the field? If he gets one shot, you know, in this ballgame. You know, Peters is a better game manager than Sikowski. You know, in terms of he's a little bit more mobile. Sikowski is more of a prototypical dropback guy, but is he going to run with the shoulder? Right? Do you have any concern?
That obviously you do. I think both guys stink, Joe. I mean, that's just me. I think no matter who Illinois plays a quarterback, they're at a disadvantage. Is Peters better than Sitowski? Of course he is. He's a better player. But, you know, they ended up winning that game with him anyway after he went out, the kid Sitowski. So I don't think that their quarterback play is that strong to begin with, Joe. So I think no matter who plays, Maryland has the advantage at that position. Doesn't make a difference to me. There's some growing pains, yes, but I think this is a really nice spot for them. And the total, maybe we'll jump into the total when we get back to, Joe, 60.5. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 204. We'll come back more of the week 3 games right here on College Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College football, full circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. When we were going to break, Joe, I did want to throw you this total for Maryland and Illinois. Maybe you don't want to lay the 7.5. Maybe you don't like this number.
Nah.
60.5. 60.5 for the total, Joe. Any interest for you there?
No, because I'll tell you what. Maryland screwed me week one. I was on West Virginia hard. That was one of my best bets. Jared Daigle throws the pick in the end zone, right? It was a 21-20 first half lead. You think, oh, wow, the game's sailing through the total, right? And then at the end of the day, they win that ball game. What was it, 30-24, and the total was 57.5. You lost it by 3.5 points. So Maryland is going to look to push tempo. Illinois, they can't go toe-to-toe. If Maryland opens up a lead through the passing game, it's lights out. This has got blowout special written all over it. The only way Illinois can keep it a game is, again, methodical offense, utilize those running backs, Williams, Allen, Peters, if he can run. So I'm iffy with the total right now, just because I would lean to the under, don't love it. I lean to Maryland, don't love it. I love the total that we discussed in terms of UCF and Louisville. I think that's going to be an absolute track meet. That could be 90 points.
Yeah, that's probably, Joe, going to be the play of the night as we get involved in that total on UCF and Louisville. Here's the problem with 60.5 for Maryland and Illinois. Like, it's just the same thing as if you're laying 7.5 with the Terps. Are you trusting them to get to around 40 points? 35,
I mean,
40 points.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's
if
possible,
they got to 40,
no
you
guarantee.
Need Illinois to get to 20. You know, like, it's just, you're asking for a lot. There's so many unknowns involved in that game. It's going to probably be very tough to do. Let's go to Saturday now.
Let me just say this. I'd rather bet that game in-game to see what the first quarter
gives. Yeah, there you go, Joe. Maybe we can get that total down in the low 50s.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because if there's no scoring, let's say Illinois takes the opening drive. They drive 8 minutes, no score. They give the football back to Maryland, try to get this ugly game. Now you got a shot. If it dips down to the high 40s, 48, 49, then you can take a shot, right? I mean, at the end of the day, they gave up 400-plus to Brennan Armstrong and 5 touchdowns. You can't just expect, though, that that's going to happen at home on a Friday night. You know Bielema was going to have that team amped up for a Friday night special.
You would like to think so. He had him amped up for Nebraska, week number one, home crowd. Will he do it again here on a little Friday night special with everybody watching the big Ten game? All right, let's get to Saturday. I'm surprised, Joe. There's a lot of really good games at noon Eastern on Saturday. This Michigan State-Miami game is interesting because me and you were so down on the Spartans going into the season, and Mel Tucker, they're going to stink. They're going to be awful. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a couple wins, including that surprise win in week number one, as far as I was concerned, at Northwestern.
Right.
Jeez, how about Northwestern only laying 2.5 on the road to Duke coming up on Saturday? Jeez, you got to be kidding me. The season's going for bad for Pat Fitzgerald already. But Michigan State under a touchdown.
Yeah.
6.5. I saw this at 8 early in the week, Joe. It's gone to 6.5. Miami under a touchdown. They have not been impressive over their first two games. That's for sure.
No, this is the right on the periscope, as they say. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, SOS, SOS, you know, telegraph. It's coming in from Western Union. In terms of this is, you start to hear some rumblings. You know, we all have connections. You start to hear the Vegas contingency start to perk their heads up. And this is the hot game, it seems like, for the week.
The sharps.
Again, we could get into the sharps and everything else, in another show. I don't buy into it in terms of that. Again, a sharp is providing information that I don't know. Right? I mean, we all know information. We all think we know. If you know more than me, then prove it. Unless you don't tell me about power rankings and everything. I don't care about that stuff. I know about football. When I break this game down, this line was 15.5 in the offseason, right? 15.5, okay? We got a 9-point premium from that. And I look at Michigan State, they're 2-0, great. They beat Northwestern, a slower defense. Kenneth Walker went off. This game is going to come down to, you have a Big Ten team traveling to the heat of South Beach. They're a one-dimensional offense. I'm not buying into Peyton Thorne. And that defense of Northwestern is not like the defense in terms of a speed perspective of the secondary in Miami. And I think that now with Miami not showing well, they get blown out by Bama. They barely pull out App State. You allow Chase Bryce to throw for 199 yards on you. This is a game that they come and step up in. And I think this is a game, more importantly, that De'Ara King shows why he got $600,000 in terms of NIL money. I am banging out his prop on Saturday afternoon, whatever it is. He only threw for 179 and 200. This is a blowout special. Miami's going to come to show the speed of Miami. They're now going to be 2-1, and then it's be like, wow, we didn't see that coming. And then this will really tip the iceberg to Michigan State being a 4-win football team in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, this is a week where we got to see something from De'Ara King, Joe. Like, I mean, it's been two really rough weeks as far as I'm concerned. He wasn't great against App State. Wasn't good at all. We need a big 4-5 touchdown, you know, runs for 80, throws for 310. Like, let's have a bust-out game from De'Ara King on Saturday afternoon.
Can we see it already?
I mean, he's due for it, Joe. I mean, he's due for it. And Sparty's not good. Little smoke and mirrors here over the first couple weeks. Hot going down to South Beach. You make some good points. Early kickoff. I mean, if Miami's ever going to bust out here in the 2021 season, it's got to be against the Spartans on Saturday.
And you're getting a fairly great price, right? Just think about it. 9 points, all they have to do is win by a touchdown. Do we really think this is going to be a field goal game? I don't think so. You know, here's the other thing, too. You look at Kenneth Walker. He's a big, burly back. He's a patient back. He allows that Le'Veon Bell type of back where he sets up his block. But you have a speedy defense. The difference between Northwestern and Miami is Northwestern is big. They're bulky. They can't run sideline to sideline. So they are good at the point of attack. Miami, you know what they're going to do? They're going to shoot gaps. That's a speedy front seven. They're going to shoot gaps and get in Walker's face. He's not going to have running room. I'm telling you, and they've played him before at Wake Forest. So they understand that type of scheme. So I'm telling you, they're going to step up. This defense makes a statement. This is not a good offense with Peyton Thorne at the helm, even though he threw for a lot of yards. And keep in mind, Hunter Johnson put up 321 in garbage time on that defense. That's why I love the De'Ara King bet in terms of a prop.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be another nice way to play this game on Saturday. Another noon kickoff. Cincinnati going to Indiana. Very intriguing game to me, Joe, that's for sure. Because as we know, Cincinnati undefeated last year, losing the Peach Bowl. Everybody's group of five darling here going into the season. They start the season in the top 10. Now they have back-to-back weeks. You know, a week off, whatever, where they got to play two big teams, Indiana, Notre Dame, both on the road. First one here, their road favorite, -3.5. I was listening to Fickell yesterday, Joe. I mean, they think that they're going to get like half the Bearcat, you know, and all the kids are all going to go rolling down to Bloomington and take the place over on Saturday, which is very possible. I guess it's a close drive, but Cincinnati's excited to get a crack at a Big Ten team here on the road on Saturday.
Yeah, now, prior to everything breaking this week with USC, I was like, this line seems a little fishy, right? It's 2.5. It's under the key number of 3, usually a road team laying 2.5. You have a dynamic quarterback in Michael Penix. That's always a cause of concern, and I'm buying into Indiana. Then they push it up over the key number. Then we have the concern about USC, and Luke Fickell's name is front and center stage. And I'm like, oh, now you're going to have public bettors come in, and all of a sudden back Indiana just because of the Luke Fickell noise. And I was like, why did this have to break now with the stupid Clay Helton? Because now you're going to have people, yeah, I'll take a shot on Indiana. And you know what? Now this is a no play for me. Although if I had to play it, I would take Michael Penix and I would take Indiana in a bounce back spot because I don't know if Cincinnati has played with these type of playmakers. You have a mobile quarterback, you have Stephen Carr, you have Peyton Hendershot, you have Freifogel. These are legitimate speed type of players, right? Big Ten speed. And I think that they can challenge Cincinnati over the top. This is not Georgia's offense either. So, you know, Georgia was like a methodical offense. Penix is going to put some pressure on that perimeter that they haven't seen before. So I lean to Indiana here. Don't love the game, though. Wouldn't shock me if also Cincinnati wins a very close game, 10 points, but it's on the King number all day, and you're like, I got a shot, but then in the end, they kick a field goal, win by 6 or win by 10.
Yeah, that's the thing for me, Joe. I'm excited to watch this game, but I don't think I'm necessarily excited to bet this game. Like,
right.
It just doesn't seem the type of game that I want to invest my money in. Maybe during the game, an in-game perspective, something like that. But pregame with the 3.5, it's a scary number to me. I lean Indiana, but I think I want to stay away from this one pregame, Joe. I don't want any.
Yeah, I do. I want to stay away from it. I mean, like I said, if I had to bet it, you're forcing me to pick. I'm taking Indiana. I have no problem with that, but I don't feel confident. You know, if Cincinnati scores first, this line could inflate to 11 really quick, right? Especially if they get a quick score. I like Indiana with 11. You know, they're not going to get blown out, I don't think, at home.
No, then we grab the Hoosiers with a little bit of points there for the rest of the game. Have a little close game, Joe. I like what you're thinking here. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll come back. More games to roll through here, especially in the noon window. Va Tech in West Virginia. Let's go, Joe. We keep rolling right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, another noon kickoff. You know, you've been after Fuentes quite a bit and Virginia Tech. Let's be fair. Yeah. Whether it was Maryland in week number one, the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State in
week number two, and now we get
to week number three. Here we go again. They're getting 2.5. This is under 3 now,
yeah,
at West Virginia into Morgantown. This almost feels exactly, Joe, like the Maryland game in week one for West Virginia. It's under a field goal, except they're at home this time. Now you got Virginia Tech. It's a very weird type of game. A low total too with 50.5. What are you feeling here early in the week, middle of the week, as far as West Virginia and Virginia Tech?
I'm not going to tip my hat, but you feel strong? You feel strong? Come on. That's the difference. West Virginia at home as opposed to the road. And I'm going to give Jared Daigie one more shot. This game's going to come down to defense. I'm not sold on Braxton Burmeister. I know he stepped up against North Carolina, but this offense is only averaging 156 passing yards per game. More importantly, Raheem Blackshear and the rushing attack, as they go, so does Virginia Tech's offense. And that goes right into the front seven of West Virginia. They're only giving up 99 rushing yards per game. They're very physical at the point of attack. They force you to beat them over the top. Now, Tua's brother was able to do it. Talia was able to do it. I'm not sold on Braxton Burmeister on the road being able to do it. And I still think that Neil Brown is a better head coach. You look at what West Virginia's defense is doing, third down conversions, holding opposing offenses to 30%. That's going to force the pressure on Va Tech. Va Tech still not converting an unbelievable rate in terms of third downs, so they're more of a one-dimensional offense. This has got trap game written all over it. I know the public is buying in to Va Tech and the Hokies. That's great. That's what I want them to do. They're going to make a statement, West Virginia, 10-point or more win. This game, to me, going to be over due to the physicality in the first half. This is going to be a cruise in the second half. I'm going to cover this number easy.
Wow,
West Virginia.
A cruise in the second half. A cruise for Joe Lisi. He says no shot for Fuentes and the Hokies coming up this Saturday in Morgantown. Wow. A turn the remote game in the second half for Joe Lisi.
I'm going to be tuned in to Nebraska-Oklahoma in the second half because I'm not going to need the Mountaineers. They're going to be ahead by so much. Blowout special. Blowout special, Carver. That's what Jared Diggy and the crew are going to bring you. We got fans everywhere, Carver. It's great. I love it.
We certainly do. Joe, this game's very intriguing to me. Coastal Carolina going up to Buffalo this week, a MAC opponent. We saw Coastal a week ago put the whooping on Kansas. We know the kind of publicity they get now. They're a top 20 team in both the polls. Under two touchdowns, 13.5. Chadwell and the crew up there scoring a lot of points. I'm intrigued by this group of five game.
Well, I watched that Buffalo game because I was sitting on a 14 and a 13.5 ticket with Nebraska. And I'm like, could we put this guy Vantrease away already? I mean, he was throwing darts like Joe Montana. All they had was a running game with Kevin Marks. I'm like, could the red black shirt step up and make a stop already? It was like 3rd and 32. They got a personal foul call. I mean, sustained drives. It was horrible to cover that game for Nebraska. It wasn't until the last 8 minutes that they wound up pulling away 28-3. Buffalo wants to run the football. They're a physical team still. This is the fishy line with Grayson McCall. I'm not going to lie to you.
It really is, Joe. This is super fishy. Like, I feel like, I just feel like they should be, you know, I don't know, 17, 18. Like, I just feel like it should be a little bit over two touchdowns with how good Coastal's been over the last 2 years.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sold on Vantrease. I'm not sold on anyone but Kevin Marks and the physicality of the offensive line. How beat up is Buffalo after that game in Lincoln? That's the question. How beat up is Buffalo? Because think about it. Coastal played Kansas Thursday night, right? When we did Coast to Coast, it was that Friday.
That was on Friday night, Joe.
So they have an extra day of preparation.
Friday night.
An extra day of prep, right, basically. And it's under the key number of 14, minus 118. It just stinks. I don't recommend betting this game, but if I did, for me, I'm taking Buffalo with the points.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, it smells to me so much that plus 430 on the money line seems appealing as well.
Yeah, you think that the Chanticleer is going to go down straight up in Buffalo?
It's possible. I mean, it's
wow.
Buffalo. I mean, it's Buffalo. Like,
What you saw against Nebraska last week. You really liked it, huh?
We're a gutty team. I'll just say this. It's like the Chanticleers all of a sudden are starting to stick their chest out. Like, oh, we're Coastal Carolina. You know, we went to a bowl game against Liberty. We have a teal green field. All right, let's just settle down. We know Joe Moglia is still your SID over there, right? SI in terms of athletic director. He came from TD Ameritrade. He's got more. He didn't even take a pay. I don't even think he got paid when he was head coach. Just donated. I don't need the money, all right? Don't worry about it.
Just take the check.
What do you want? 100 grand here, 200 there. I'm a football coach now. He's a good guy. He really is. I mean, really, he's done a lot for that program and a lot of money coming in. But at the end of the day, I feel like Coastal's walking around thinking they're like Alabama now. They think they're like an SEC team. You know, and it's like, all right, settle down now. You went to one bowl game last year. You beat BYU with Zach Wilson, with Kalani Sitake as head coach. Can we settle down now?
You're on Sitake again.
I am. I'm going to be on Sitake.
I love him.
I think like they're going to look at Buffalo and be like, no big deal. It's no big deal. It's Buffalo. We got this.
You're amazing, Joe. You really are. Nebraska and Oklahoma. A lot has been made of this game, of course. I personally feel Scott Frost tried to cancel it because he knows he's going to get boat raced. 22.5 in Norman with a total of 61.5. I got a feeling that Scott Frost is probably right and it's going to get ugly, Joe.
I'm taking the points. This might make the list. You got to wait till Friday. But I'm taking the 22.5. The only way Nebraska can keep this game close is don't let Adrian Martinez to throw one pass. Run it old school, triple option with Gabe Irvin, step, and try to grind out. Just the way Michael Pratt and Tulane did. Michael Pratt and Tulane put up 35 points on this defense. I'm watching old Nebraska Cornhusker videos. Mike Rozier, Keith Jones, Ken Clark, Corey Ross. I'm all amped up. Those red pants on the road in Norman. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Give me the points with Scott Frost and the crew.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of leaning towards the points as well, Joe. Like, I just have a feeling, like you said, like Oklahoma didn't show well against Tulane in week number one. Old-time rivalry. Listen, I keep thinking that Frost is actually going to have his guys up for a game eventually. I mean, geez, so much was made of this, tried to cancel the game. 22.5 is a lot. It's a lot of points, even for the mighty Spencer Rattler and company. I could be with you. What about the 61.5? You think that there's going to be some scoring in this game?
There can be, but, I mean, like I said, if you're Nebraska, you got to rely on the running game. They're averaging 236 yards on the ground, right? They're averaging what I do like and why I give them a shot, 51% on third down conversions. So as bad as they've been, they're still converting, which means they sustain drives, right? That front seven's only given up 143 yards on the ground. So we got to look at this matchup. Okay, if you're Nebraska, I want the football first. I want an 8-9 minute drive with Adrian Martinez. Maybe we can pop a big run. We got to score first. That's the MO. Do not allow Oklahoma to establish tempo and jump up early. So if you're Scott Frost, you've been running the football. They utilized a little counter option last week at the end of Buffalo. That might be a new wrinkle in terms of this matchup. I don't know. Give Oklahoma a little something to think about, especially when you have an over-aggressive defense that wants to run quick sideline to sideline. You counter-option it. Back end, baby. Gabe Irvin, 60 yards, touchdown, 7-0 Nebraska.
You're hot stuff, Joe. You really are. I could be with you, though, on this. I don't know. This isn't going to be one of my picks like you, but I think...
Oh, come on, man. Then I'm going to do Thursday night with Scotty, and he's going to bring this game up, and you're going to be like this. I'm on it. And then Thursday night, you'll be like, they're going to get pasted, Scott.
They're going to get... Yeah, look, I'm not impressed with Oklahoma. I don't know if, again, they can cover 22.5, even against Nebraska being as bad as they are. Minnesota and Colorado.
Ooh,
interesting game. P.J.
Chill.
Fleck and the Buffaloes. P.J. Fleck getting 2.5 at Folsom. Low
yes.
total, too, Joe. I love totals under 50 in college football.
Yes.
48.5 for the Buffaloes and the Gophers. This should be a fun game.
I'll tell you what, this is one of my best bets for the week. I'm already on.
Poking the bear.
All right, let's look. We had an emotional letdown with Colorado and Brendan Lewis. They had victory, couldn't pull it out against top-right Texas A&M, right? Now, where is their mindset? They go back home. They played on a neutral field. They come back home. Here comes lowly Minnesota, big, burly Minnesota. They got nothing but just ham and eggers, right? That's all they got. Ham and eggers, right? We eat ham and eggs for breakfast. But they got the quarterback advantage with Tanner Morgan, okay? And that's a big thing for me. And P.J. Fleck in Minnesota over the last couple of years, 7-3 straight up on the road. He has his teams prepared for this type of environment. You look at 2 losses last year, 3 points to Wisconsin, 1 point to Maryland. Those were 2 of the 3 losses. So they're in each and every ball game. It means a lot to Minnesota to regroup in a big way. I think they, honestly, this is going to be a tough game early. But after that, I think the physicality of Minnesota goes through. They run away with this. They're going to win this ball game outright.
Yeah, you know, I was impressed with Colorado last week, Joe, from this aspect. And we didn't talk about it much because we were so focused on Calzone coming in for Texas A&M and King leaving the game. Even with the bad quarterback in for the Aggies, they're still very physical on both sides of the football. And Colorado was able to stick with them throughout the whole game. And that impressed me with the Buffaloes.
Oh, yeah, and that's the one thing. They held A&M to 3.3 yards per carry, right? So that's the matchup, the front seven. But you have, they're still kids, right? When you have a game that you should have won for the most part, Where's your emotional mindset? Now you have two physical, again, heavy offense and defensive lines. Do you start to wear down a little bit? And we got to keep in mind now, Tanner Morgan's only completed 52% of his passes, but he is the better, more experienced quarterback with the better head coach, in my opinion.
I agree with you on that point. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. We come back and wrap it up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. I mean, we're only going to get through like the noon games today, Joe. Like, we still got a couple days here before we get to Saturday. We've got several other games that we are going to dive into over the next couple days. Of course, on Friday, we will have our picks for the weekend. Joe closing the gap a little bit. He's got it to within two right now with me for the big steak dinner at the end of the year. I'll throw you one more noon game to get us out of here today.
All right.
We kind of talked about A&M yesterday. It's 29.5 now with Calzone going to be at quarterback. I don't like that at all. But what about this great BC Temple game, the Mike Blewett Chriskovsky battle coming up on Saturday?
They're talking like this game, like all right, guys. I know. And what do you think about this? Did you see the picture from Djokovic?
We got to go
on this diatribe.
Djokovic's hurt. They're in trouble now.
Djokovic, there goes the. I mean, we're going to talk about BC if maybe once they play their three first games: Temple, UMass, and Colgate. Can we get real? Already.
Hey,
I mean,
listen, I'm taking Temple with the 15.5 on Saturday.
You know what?
Joe.
Let's take the Owls. Let's just go against everybody. Let's go with Kofsky just so we can rub it in somebody's face. Let's take Temple. I know they haven't looked good, but I'm going to take the points. I'm tired of the banter back and forth. It's like minutia.
And we've got UConn, who's just had a great year so far, going up to West Point to take on Army, who had some game with Western Kentucky last week. 33.5 for Army coming up here.
I got to be honest with you. This game smells. I'm almost inclined to take UConn. Hear me out. Wait a second. I'm serious. They got blown out 49-0 by Purdue. That bet them will not bet them this week. Running team, let's take the points with UConn. One of my best bets, baby.
Tremendous job as always, Joe. I will see you tomorrow. Great stuff as always from Andrew Torres. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll see you tomorrow.